We are told in various places of Scripture to have faith and to be strong and courageous. In most of these cases, it's said when the men are about to go out to fight some kind of battle or to take over a people or a land. But in 1 Samuel, we read about a woman who showed great strength, faith, and confidence in her marriage to a man that Scripture describes as being harsh and evil in his doings. The woman's name is Abigail, and as we study her story and her character today, I pray that you draw strength, hope, and confidence from her example. Let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Hey girls, I want to tell you about an upcoming episode that I am super excited about. I've been wanting to do it for a while now, and God has made it happen. It will be an interview with my friend Melody, who is married to a non-believer. She is going to be sharing with us some insights as to what her experience has been with this, what she has done that has had a positive impact on her husband, and what she has learned not to do. This information is going to be helpful for those of you who have non-believing husbands, but also for those who have husbands who may be believers, but for whatever reason, they are not following God right now. I want you to be looking for this episode coming up. It's going to be coming up in the next week or two. Tell your friends about it. It's going to be epic. All right? Okay, so let's go on with Abigail. And as I've mentioned before, I like to learn about God and His character through the examples that are written to us in Scripture. How He interacts with people in Scripture and in their lives helps me to be able to understand my life and how He interacts with me and what I'm supposed to do. Abigail is one of those examples. We will see today that she is a picture of a woman who, despite her circumstances, showed great strength and confidence because she put her faith and hope in God. And you know, something that God actually brought to my mind this morning was the fact that Abigail is written in Scripture, which means God chose this account to be put in Scripture for us to learn from, to be an example for us. And so it's just that much more important to me to read this and to know it and to know what that example is, because my Heavenly Father has made it a point to write this example for me and for you. So just kind of think about that and have that in the back of your mind as we do this lesson today. So as an intro to Abigail, we see her first in 1 Samuel 25 verses 2 and 3. And it says this, "Now there was a man of Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb." So to set the scene here, as the scripture said, Nabal is a very rich man with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And then while David and his men were in Carmel, which is the same place that Nabal is in, he came across Nabal's herdsmen and his sheep. And he did the honorable thing in making sure that they were safe. David and his men made sure that no one bothered the men, no one stole any sheep, no one did anything to them, but they protected Nabal's herdsmen and then also his sheep. So then when David's in the wilderness and he hears that Nabal is shearing his sheep in Carmel, he sends some of his men to Nabal and says, "Hey, we have protected your sheep. We've protected your men. You can ask them. Nothing has ever happened to them. We would like to have you give us some provisions. We need some food and some provisions because we have done the honorable thing in protecting your men. We would like to have these provisions." And I know that probably seems kind of weird to us today, but this was a common thing back then to do. It was a common request. And we know by Abel's comments to David that David is known. Nabal knows who David is and that he's a warrior, that he's going to be the future king of Israel. Like, David is known by all as to who he is. However, this is Nabal's answer to David's men. And it's in 1 Samuel 25:10-11. And it says, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away, each from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men that I do not know where they are from?" Then we read in verses 21 and 22 that when David hears this response, it angers him greatly. And he says, "Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have protected all this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light.'" So David has gathered 400 of his men, had each of them gather up their swords because they're about to go and kill Nabal and all of his men. Then we read in verses 14 through 17 that one of Nabal's men goes and tells Abigail all that has happened. This is what he says. "Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by day and night, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him.'" Through this story, we learn many things about Abigail and the example of a godly woman that she is. The first thing that we learn is that she's approachable. We already read that Abigail was a woman of good understanding, meaning that she was intelligent and discerning as well as being beautiful. Here we learn that she is also approachable as her servant is comfortable to come to her at his time of need. Because he knows exactly who to go to, this is probably not the first time that he's asked her for help. It appears that she has probably been that buffer or that person who has intervened because of her husband on their behalf in the past. And this gentleman is hoping that she will do the same now. Given her situation of being in a childish marriage to a godless husband, she could have been bitter and fearful and motivated by selfishness. She could have spent her time in self-pity or with spiteful actions against her husband. She could have been so caught up in her own unhappiness that she would have missed the opportunities to seek after God and to be used for his purpose. She could have looked at this young man and said, "What do you want me to do about this? You know that my husband is an evil man. You know the way that he is and what he's going to say. I'm not going to go against him on this. There is nothing that I can do for you." But this is what she does instead. "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sihas of roasted grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and they loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. She is bringing all of these provisions to David in hopes of changing his mind. Being approachable isn't just about being friendly or being nice to others. It's also about having an open mind. It's about being willing to listen to someone else's perspective, even if it might not be something that we really want to hear at first. But ultimately, embracing their advice because it may help us in some way. Look at the contrast between Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was harsh and evil, and it even tells us like nobody can talk to him. But Abigail is not. She is approachable. She is described as having a good understanding and beautiful. And from what we can see about her, she is beautiful not only on the outside, but on the inside. And those around her can see it. When we are bitter and miserable in our circumstances, we are not approachable. We're not approachable to others, and we may not even be approachable to God. We are so consumed with ourselves or with our own feelings that we can miss opportunities that God has given us to have joy in doing His work. Abigail also takes action. She has accepted the responsibility to meet the need presented to her, to help the people who worked for her husband, and to do whatever she could to be able to save their lives. She took action to solve the problem, even though it wasn't really her problem. Like, she's not the one that created this. It was her husband's foolish, selfish actions that did this. But it didn't matter to her. She took on the responsibility anyway and took care of it. Abigail took action seeking God and by putting faith in Him. She made herself available to God and desired His purpose and His plan for her life despite what her circumstances were. She surrendered to God's will for her life. She drew strength and confidence from her faith, and she responded to God's purpose with obedience. Like Esther that we looked at a few weeks ago, Abigail is another clear example of the fact that God does call us women into significant roles with sometimes some very sobering responsibilities. Roles and circumstances where we will need to step up, trust God, and take action. Both of these women were willing to go so far as to risk their own lives for the purpose that God had called them to. Abigail was also knowledgeable of God, and this knowledge of God gave her the wisdom she needed to be able to navigate the circumstances that she was in. As a woman in her culture being married to such a harsh and evil man, she could have thought of herself as lowly, hidden herself from the world, and thought to be unworthy or unable to obtain knowledge or to know the things of God. And her husband certainly didn't lead her in a godly manner, nor encourage her to follow God's teachings. But Abigail knew and feared God anyway. She knew of His might and His faithfulness. Because of this, she had no need to fear her circumstances, to fear her husband, or anything else in her life. She knew and stood on Proverbs 9:10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Abigail sought God first, and she feared Him, not being afraid of Him, but in having a reverence for Him, and knowing that in all things, it was in her best interest to follow His ways and His commands. And by doing this, she was blessed with a heart of wisdom. Psalms 1 verses 2 through 6 tell us this: "But His delight is in the law of the Lord," and it's talking about the believer. "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Abigail knows this about God. She has lived this with God. She has seen his faithfulness in making her like that tree planted by the rivers of water and by bringing fruit to her life. She has seen the difference in her husband, who is in the ungodly man, and she is secure in the fact that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. She rests in these facts. And so at this point, David is angry. He is ready for battle, so she sends the servant ahead with the provisions to cause David to maybe take pause for a moment. I believe in hopes to soften his demeanor so that he would be willing to listen to her and to her request. She has most likely learned from her experiences with her husband how to de-escalate a situation before approaching someone, and she's using what she has learned with David. Remember, she's married to a difficult and angry man, so this has given her the insight that she needs to know how to handle the situation and the best way to approach David to have him listen to her. She is a picture of strength and confidence. Nabal had made a terrible and foolish mistake by not showing kindness and not providing food to David and his men after they had kept his herdsmen and kept his flock safe from harm. Abigail sees the foolishness of her husband, so she boldly goes to David in hopes of finding favor with him to change his mind. Her strength and her confidence did not come from within herself, but within the knowledge that she trusts God. In her relationship with God, what she knows about him to be true and how she has seen him work in her life in the past, this is what gives her the strength and the confidence that she needs to face her future. Making a judgment about a husband's foolishness is not to be done lightly, but with much prayer and in having scripture to guide us. It is not we who judge whether our husband has done something right or wrong or done something that was foolish or not, but it is God's word that judges this. However, we cannot deny the leadership that God may require of us in extenuating circumstances, like in what we read about Esther or what we're seeing in Abigail today. As I've said before, if your husband asks you to do something that is against God's word, then as a believer, we have a responsibility to stand up and say no to his request and to honor God. And there may be times that we need to step in and step up to do the right thing. Abigail also showed strength and confidence by reminding David of what God's purpose for him was, by reminding him of his calling on his life and that God had a plan for him and had glory set out for him. He needed to be careful in what his next steps were going to be. So when she goes to meet David, this is one of the things that she tells him, and it's in verses 30 through 31. "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." And I know this is a little bit difficult to understand because she's referring to Lord as God, and she's also referring to Lord as David. But what she's basically saying is, if you go through with this, then you're grieving God, because God does not want you to avenge yourself and to shed blood in this case. God uses Abigail to remind David of what his purpose is, that he will one day be the ruler over Israel, that he is not to avenge himself or to shed blood without cause, and by doing so would cause grief because it would cause dishonor to God. In her strength, she also showed humbleness. She does not approach David in anger, telling him, you know, that what he's doing is wrong or ridiculing him for having a foolish reaction to another man's foolish behavior, which we've seen men do. But she comes to him with a humble heart, being willing to take the responsibility for the wrong her husband has done, and gently requests that David change his mind. It says in 23 to 24, "Now when Abigail saw David, She dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "O me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." And then later in verse 28, she says, "Please forgive the trespasses of your maidservant." Abigail's approach to David shows her deep faith and knowledge of God and her obedience in his ways of being humble before others and her godly character. There was no pride in her heart that was going to cause her to act self-righteous or haughty, but she kneels before David. She's completely humble before him, takes full responsibility as to what's happened, even though it is in no way her fault. But she does all of this because she knows that this is what God is requiring her to do, and she does it willingly. In this, Abigail is an example of Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." As I said, Abigail knew what the right thing was to do, and she set aside her own feelings to be humble before David and in obedience to God. Lastly, Abigail respected her husband. Despite her husband's demeanor and behavior, despite his foolishness, his ungodliness, and him being harsh and evil, she still chose to follow God in being a submissive and respectful wife. It says in verses 36 and 37, "Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him all these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone." So Abigail had also learned that there was a right time and a place to speak to her husband. So she waited until morning to make Nabal fully aware of all that had happened with David. She did not keep it from him. She didn't lie to him about it at all, showing him respect as the head of the household. But remember, she did it at the right time. Given her character, I also believe that she didn't yell at him. She didn't call him a fool and tell him what he was done was stupid or foolish or whatever. But she spoke to him calmly and had compassion for him in allowing for God to judge his actions. And she did not judge him herself. She also maintained an inner strength and composure in dealing with the selfish and cruel behavior of her husband, a kind of strength and composure that can only come from the Lord. None of what we have seen about Abigail goes unnoticed by God, and he blesses her. We read in verses 32 through 35 of David's response to Abigail's words of wisdom. It says this, "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal.' So David received from her what she had brought him and said to her, 'Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person.'" Can you imagine Abigail at this moment? Like the relief and joy that she had in that God had worked through her in this, that God had answered her prayers and worked this situation for good. Abigail sought God's wisdom in his ways in handling this difficult situation and in dealing with her husband. And God was faithful to use her for his purpose, to protect her, to save her household, and also to help David to stay on the right path with God. Even though we may not see it in the midst of our circumstances, Scripture assures us in Romans 8:28, it says this, And we know that all these things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And ladies, as a believer, that is you. You are the one that God works everything for good for, and that you are called according to His purpose. This is what Abigail teaches us. But this isn't the end of the story. I told you that when Abigail told Nabal all that had happened, that his heart died within him and that he became like a stone. But what I didn't tell you was the rest of the story starting in verse 38. It says this, "Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, 'Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head.'" God was the one who judged Nabal, and David was thankful that he had not sinned against God by taking matters into his own hands and to avenge him himself. Like I've told you before, God is so much better at working in someone else's heart than we are. So often we need to just leave it to Him and to leave it alone and to let God do the work and to only step in and to say something or to do something if we truly feel that God is leading us to do so. So next we read in Scripture, "And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, 'David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife.' Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, 'Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord.' So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife." God blessed Abigail by not only taking her out of that difficult and hurtful marriage, but He also made her the wife of the future king of Israel. Like, can you imagine? I'm sure that this was a blessing that was far past anything that Abigail could have thought or dreamed of. Jeremiah 17:7 tells us, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." The Lord blesses those who trust in Him and follow His ways, who seek His will for their lives, despite what their circumstances may be. I hope today that you have drawn encouragement and hope from Abigail's example, and that how God works powerfully on our behalf when we will seek His will and respond to His calling for our lives. Abigail could have allowed herself to be bitter and unhappy in her marriage to a harsh and evil man, but she didn't. Instead, she looked to God for her strength, her faith, and her joy. Through her circumstances, God shaped her character and increased her faith and her confidence in Him so that when the right time came, when the time came for her to step up and take action, she was ready. We learn from Abigail how to be approachable to others and being willing to listen to them and someone else's perspective, how to stand up and to take action for God's purpose when He calls us to. We learn to know the knowledge of God, and that in doing so, it brings us the wisdom that we need to navigate the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We learn that we too can be a picture of strength and confidence if we will put our faith and trust in God. We learn to remain humble and to allow God to do the work, to take responsibility for things that we may not have caused, but to do so out of obedience to Christ, to always be respectful to our husbands, despite what their behavior is to us or to other people. And then lastly, we learn that God blesses those who put their trust in Him and to follow His ways. When we diligently seek the Lord and His strength, we will be prepared for the challenges that He allows in our path, that we can look at our past circumstances and know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Have a blessed day, ladies. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.